Welcome to August. I sympathize with you, sisters and brothers. Because August is, I apologize for all of you who have birthdays and anniversaries this month. It's a beautiful month, but it's a one long, hot month. And I often face it with dread. As a gardener, it's about the time everything gets burned up, played out, dried up. And as a sailor, it's about the time when the winds get becalmed, at least in the part of Florida I'm from, and the sails tend to just kind of flap at the mast. And then as an allergy sufferer, it's the time of year where the dust kicks up and my eyes are always watering, so yes, I have my tissues. And my nose is always running, so yes, I have my hand sanitizer for communion later. But it's just that time of year. It's those August dog days of summer. We just have to embrace it for what it is. It has its own gifts. But you know, there's something going on in the world that kind of amplifies the feeling of dog days of summer. Kind of describes how many are feeling. Because when the temperatures are rising, so seem our tempers. Our tempers seem to rise. And I don't know about you, but it seems like in the general conversation, the atmosphere around us, that things are just going to the dogs. You know, our daily conversations with each other, it's just full of that snapping and growling and snarling and quick response and yapping commentaries. You know, I understand that there are people who put their dogs up as memes now, and they are giving all kinds of comments on these platforms, and they use their pets, their dogs, as sponsors for their own ideas. You know, they reinforce, whether it's a liberal idea or a conservative idea, that's not the point. The point is that we've got these biting statements that just seem so easy to just send out there into the world. And so they try to influence and berate with these statements, and they come across as opinions, and they are not really very helpful. I find them to be less than reflective, not very intelligent, and they don't offer a lot of solutions to our problems. They just seem to continue to divide us into camps and clans and tribes. And you know, this really amazes me. Because we consider ourselves so advanced. And here we are using all this great technology in the most shallow way possible. And it belittles our discourse, and it sends out tweets and insults so quickly. Before we can even capture the words back, they're out and we've got thousands of responses. Today, I'd like us to consider taking a different course. How we as Christians might really work to change this atmosphere. That we are given the opportunity for a more healthy and a more constructive and a more helpful course in our civic conversations and in our public discourse, in our working for community solutions. And I think that that's a gift from God. If we are willing as Christians to humbly seek wise counsel ourselves. Our technology makes finding advice for life's big issues really easy. Just put it out there on Facebook. People got all kinds of ways to help you. There's blogs and podcasts on anything and everything. Marriage and divorce, family and parenting, love and dating. Money, finance, and debt, etiquette and ethics, but do we take advice? And more importantly, how reliable are the sources that offer this advice? So it's our task to be sure that they are worthy of our trust and that they provide reliable information and that there are people who are actually applying this to their own lives. They take their own advice, right? Now, for decades, there was a woman who wrote a column of Dear Abby. There was a time when we really did listen to what our newspapers wrote, and they were filled with wisdom and counsel and considered opinions, letters to the editors. And here came along Dear Abby, and she came to be able to open up the civil discourse on all kinds of questions that people hadn't really brought out outside their homes before. You know, she was the first interactive response and advice giver, and she connected people with solutions, and she did it with grace and humor. She did it non-judgmentally. It was clever, her words of wisdom. She wrote for decades. She proved to have some standing and some longevity, and she was relevant to people's lives. So when people wrote in their Dear Abby letters, she would write back in her column, and it was without malice. You know, it was without belittling or humiliating people. They could just send out this question, and it would open up conversations, and it did so for our society on a wide variety of topics we really hadn't talked about openly before in a national context on some of these. And so I wanted to share some of her classic one-liner responses, which was what she was really known for, some of her really classic one-liners. And just briefly on a few topics, on births and grandbabies. Dear Abby, our son married a girl when he was in the service. They were married in February. She had an 8.5-pound baby girl in August. She said the baby was premature, but can an 8.5-pound baby be premature? Wanting to know. That was the other thing. You could sign your letters with a descriptor. You didn't have to give your name. So this is wanting to know. Dear Wanting, the baby was on time. The wedding was late. Forget it. Be a happy grandma, in other words. Take the good news. Go with it. Go forward with it. On relationships, what's the difference between a wife and a mistress? Bess. Dear Bess, night and day. And this is the last one I'll share. On being a good neighbor. About 4 months ago, the house across the street was sold to a father and son. That's in quotes, father and son. Or so we thought. We later learned that it was an older man, about 50, and a young fellow, about 24. This was a respectable neighborhood before this odd couple, again in quotes, odd couple, moved in. They have all sorts of strange-looking company. Men who look like women, women who look like men, blacks and whites and Indians, and yesterday I saw two nuns go in there. Abby, these weirdos are wrecking our property values. How can we improve the quality of this once respectable neighborhood? Up in arms. Dear Up, you could move. She continued to write this column, and then after she passed away, and her daughter took it up. So there's just decades of still relevant advice. But I bet when I started this, and some of you are even way too young to know Dear Abby, and some of you might have thought, well, that was a long time ago. How relevant could that be? How standing and what kind of quality would that advice be? It's still good advice, but we have to also admit that as much as we love Dear Abby and enjoy her humor and her insight, it's not the deepest level of wisdom that we could draw upon. It's not the deepest well. But, you know, that's true, but we also need to know that advice and wisdom, while we want it and it's good, we have to be willing to look at the source. And if it's reliable and people actually live by it, and it comes from a person we trust, then I think it's something we might want to consider. Advice that if we will take it stands up as true over time. So let me ask you to reflect inwardly for just a moment. What's the best advice you've ever received? Think about that. Did you take it up? Do you regret not having taken it up? I don't want you to spend a lot of time on regret over that issue, because there's still plenty of time to consider it and see if it will be applicable and make a change in your life. But reliable and relevant, wise advice is something we all need to hear. We all have to decide if we're going to apply it and receive the blessing and gain the wisdom or not. So I'm going to put three things out to you, of things that I have learned in my life. See if you'll take my advice. The best communication advice I ever received were these things. Do not say everything you think. Listen. And don't interrupt. Do not send an email when you are upset. And write thank you notes. Best communication advice I ever received. On another topic, the best marriage advice I ever received, and I found this worked for 30 years. Do not say everything you think. Listen and don't interrupt. Do not say anything when you are angry. And by the way, this really worked because my family learned that when I was silent, to be scared. And most importantly, tell those that you love them that you love them. Say it often and say thank you just as often. And on my third and last topic, that if you'll take my advice, it's financial advice. It's very simple. It's the best advice I've ever been given. Make a budget. Take baby steps to pay off your debt. Build up an emergency fund and live on a cash basis. All hail Dave Ramsey and financial peace. It's not mine, but it's advice that I have gained and used and been blessed by, so I share it with you. If you'll take my advice, that's totally up to you. Beloved, there's great advice out there. Whatever our trouble or trial or hardship or life situation, still the best source of all wisdom and guidance, instruction and counsel is God's word, right here. The collected wisdom of God and God's people, lived out, tried out, and proven true. Even Moses, the prophet and leader of the people of Israel, even he who delivered Israel from the Pharaoh's enslavement after 400 years, needed help and guidance. He had a leadership blind spot. Even as devoted a life as he led, he needed help in how to lead Israel effectively. And so that's the scripture we read today, and we will learn about how Moses was willing to take advice and see if it's not applicable to our lives as well. It's in Exodus 18, chapter 18, beginning in verse 13. The next day, Moses set as judge for the people, while the people stood around him from morning until evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone while all the people stand around you from morning until evening?" Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me and I decide between one person and another, and I make known to them the statutes and instructions of God." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You will surely wear yourself out. both you and these people with you. For the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me. I will give you counsel, and God be with you. You should represent the people before God, and you should bring their cases before God. Teach them the statutes and instructions and make known to them the way they are to go and the things they are to do. You should also look for able men among all people, men who fear God, are trustworthy, and hate dishonest gain. Set such men over them as officers, over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Let them sit as judges for the people at all times. Let them bring every important case to you, but decide every minor case themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all these people will go to their homes in peace. This is a blessing for Moses and for the people. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So did Moses take that advice? The very next verse. So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did all that he had said. He was willing to take advice. Jethro was worthy of being listened to. I want to tell you a little bit about Jethro, because this could change our civic discourse. If we will do as Moses and humble ourselves and accept wisdom from people who have lived it, who have authority, who have gifts and graces, then we will receive the blessing, and those around us will be blessed as well. It will require us to be willing to be humble as Moses, and then to accept that counsel and apply it to our own lives. Here's Jethro. Jethro, who is watching how Moses is interacting with the people in his role as leader and prophet. Jethro was a priest of Midian. And if you'll recall earlier in the Exodus story, when Moses was a refugee fleeing for his life out of Egypt, he was welcomed into Jethro's camp. Someone who was embraced, not just into his community, but also into his family. Moses became Jethro's son-in-law by marriage to his daughter. And as Moses had children, when Moses went back to Egypt, it was Jethro who housed and cared for his daughter and her two sons. And what's happened here is, as Moses has brought all these people back to the region where Jethro is a priest of Midian, where he has reigned as an authoritative figure who has been deciding people's disputes, who has been helping them worship for decades, who has been taking looking at the course of the whole area and region and seeing all these new people, he's still trying to integrate and celebrate with them their release and their freedom. We have just left a scene where Jethro and Aaron and Moses and the leaders have all gathered to worship together, to make sacrifice to God, and where Jethro makes the proclamation, "Your God is God of all gods." So this is a man who has some leadership, some administration, some experience, some authority in lots of different areas of his region and among different clans and different tribes, and now he's welcoming this huge camp of Israelites into not just his community, not just his family, but in the whole network of what for them is their world. So he's worthy to be listened to. So with the skills and graces, willing to build peace, willing to construct and have conversations that are helpful for individuals, for communities, for between tribes, between clans. This was a priority for Jethro, and he is sincerely wanting to help. He loves Moses. He celebrates the release of the Israelites into this freedom, and he wants them to be successful, and he's willing to share his wisdom that might happen. It's relevant. It's reliable. It's trustworthy. And so Moses takes this advice, and he applies it, and the people flourish. Moses is blessed, and the people are blessed. It will all go healthier for this community as they learn to go forward from this place. It's not the end of the story, but I want you to know it's a crucible. It could have been the place where border walls were built, strife was enhanced, people were embittered, people wanted to influence one another, but it was really significant that one of the standards for a judge that Jethro lifted up was people who hated the kickback, who weren't going to be influenced by things that were not healthy and good and right and just. So I think that we all need to be willing to admit that we need help too. And that when we have our blind spots, that we're willing to accept advice. If somebody points out to us, you know, there might be a better way to handle that dispute between you and your children. There might be a better way to deal with that conflict at your office. There might be a better, more healthy way to interact and have that conversation with people, a more productive solution building together as a community. Moses accepted the teaching, counsel, and guidance from Jethro, and we should seek our own counsel with the same humility and diligence and seek the same blessings. Our invitation, and we are so blessed by it, is to come and learn from Jesus Christ himself. I want to remind you of what that invitation is. It's from Matthew chapter 11. All of you take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Friends, we would do well to follow Moses' example, to accept the advice offered and to learn from Jesus Christ himself. Apply his teachings to our lives that we might be blessed and that we might bless others around us. Jesus is our most reliable, relevant, wise, trustworthy source of advice for guidance and for counsel and for his great love for us. If you'll take my advice, you'll follow Jesus. You will fill your life with his health and his peace, and it will multiply greatly in your lives. I would just ask that there be God's peace on earth. And in this way, we will be part of that conversation where we think the strife is so high and the temper so hot. Maybe there's a better way. Let's recall what Christ would say. Peace. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Peace be with you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.